John 4:34 says, Jesus says, "For my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus said this in the midst of a busy ministry time and session where he was not taking time to eat. And his disciples are concerned about him. He had literally just come from the encounter with the woman at the well, but he's just constantly moving, Jesus says. Now, he would get away to quiet places and pray, which is an example for all of us, an inspiration about how the Son of God would break away to lonely places to pray. But Jesus was about the mission on a regular basis. And they're concerned for him in this situation. They're saying, "Hey, you're not stopping and taking lunch breaks, and we're concerned about you. We're concerned about you because we love you, and you're not doing that." And he says this statement, "Listen, I've got food you don't know about. There's a nourishment happening in my soul and in my being by being on mission with the Father. Me discerning what his will is and doing what he's doing gives me life." And honestly, the Lord designed us all to not dwell in selfishness where we're just trying to get ours and our families and that's it. He called us all to otherliness. Otherliness is where, and mission is where there's health, when we're giving away. Now, we all have certain predilections to want to hole away with ourselves or our families and just survive and thrive and hopefully not have much pain. But obviously, the greatest missionary ever to planet Earth was the Lord Jesus Christ, sent from heaven. He bore the greatest burden. He came and missioned and bore weakness and pain so that he might bring salvation to the world. And that missional God has got that missional DNA in every one of us. All of you, I don't necessarily need to talk you into missions important. You already know if you're a believer in Jesus. You know. I don't want to come at you from an ought kind of thing. You ought to be serving the poor. You ought to be sharing the gospel. You're probably getting enough of that from your flesh and from the devil because he drives us under with that kind of stuff. The Spirit of God actually is convicting us, not condemning us, and wooing our hearts out that we might break the genetic race, the heredity that we were born into that is turned toward itself and might begin to give ourselves away even as our God does. The Lord has called you to mission. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, mission is burning in your heart. There's already assignments in you to do these things, and we've had fun over the last years doing a lot of different missions. Sometimes I feel like I overwhelm you with mission after mission after mission, sometimes reports. The reason we do that is to encourage you about normal Christianity and be on a mission, and hopefully to set a menu out for you that might spark something in your heart that you go, "Yes, that's something I'm supposed to partner with, I'm supposed to be with." Last week, Jan being here and giving her whole life away. She just wasting, Jan Thompson, wasting her life in Haiti. I mean, normal world would look at that and go, "That's a waste. She's down there just giving her life to orphans." When I look at that, I think that's normal. And I think we should see that as normal and as fuel on the fire. Now, he doesn't call all of us to missions in Haiti. He calls most of us to have jobs within this kind of broken system and to be a testimony where we are. But it's so easy, isn't it, to lose mission in our hearts. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit in you is longing for outlets for mission to happen. Last week, Tim shared about his nine-nation vision and about a ministry trip to Iraq and how he was stirred about that. Well, Joe Spangler, little Joe, you know, did a tour of duty in Iraq. And when he was there, God actually revived Joe from being a prodigal to coming to the Lord, as often happens in the foxhole. And he turned his heart back and he heard things about Iraq. So when he heard Tim talk, and Tim had connections there, he called Tim and they went to lunch this week and they met and prayed about Iraq and opportunities to minister there. That can happen for all of you. It may be feeding people here, maybe just sharing the gospel with your neighbor. I don't know what it is. It could be international and it might be national. But either way, it is food to the normal disciple's soul to be doing the will of the Father. And I hope that you're all on mission. And I'm going to ask you before I pray, where are you in this? Again, I don't ask this like, "You big dummies, get doing mission." I mean, like that's going to give life to anybody. I'm telling you, you already want to do mission. You've probably tasted and done mission, and it was a joy. The happiest people I've known on the planet, and I'm not joking, met a lot of people, rich people, poor people, but mission people are the happiest people I've ever met. They're so free from boredom. They're so free from the addiction of trying to get a little bit more and worried they're going to lose what they got. They're all in, have sacrificed it. They're on mission, and they're some of the most free, happy people I've ever met as the Lord sends them. And I want you to be that way. I want you to be able to be free. as we disciple you and as we do make disciples here, it is normal for you to be on mission. And so I want to ask, are you forgetting about mission? Is that where you are? You're like, I'm saying it now, and you're like, oh, yeah, I need to be on mission. Or are you under guilt about mission, and you're seeing things around you, your eyes sees them, but you don't act, you're in some disobedience? Is that where you are? And as I talk, you're going, ugh. Or are you on mission, and you're having the warfare that happens? Because I don't want to be misrepresent. When you get on mission, you get in the war. The war over here is more like a lullaby to get you to go to sleep. That's warfare. It really is. Lukewarmness is just to get you down. But the warfare over here is you're awake and you're getting hit frontally. And I know enough, I've been long enough in this, that you just get hit. You get hit and things happen and you got to endure. So I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's fulfilling. And I'm saying it's agreement with the Holy Spirit. And I want you all eating. I want to see people and believers not emaciated, starving to death because they're not eating the food, which is the doing of the will of the Father. And He's given you opportunities. He's sovereignly placed you where you are. So I want to pray for all of us in the room right now that the Lord would open that up. Listen, the gospel is the great mission to the planet. We're taking the gospel everywhere and to everyone. I met with the China Harvest guys, the leader out of that in Skype, who they've been to China 150 times, encouraging the church, thousands of Bibles sent, persecuted and martyr saints that there's their partners. They've lost partners. And this guy on Skype said to me and said to Lyle, listen, guys, we're going to take food and we're going to take clothes and we're going to do all that. But listen, the gospel is a non-compromise issue for us. And he just went on, and we were just smiling, because he said so many will get in just the food, or they're into the clothes, or they're into that, and they lose Jesus in the midst of this thing. And my heart was just soaring as I was saying, dude, you're preaching to the choir. And so I want to encourage you all can be part of gospel mission by feeding the poor, by whatever, but we're always taking Jesus where He's not. And so He's going to fill this whole planet someday. But there's absent spots all over the planet. And you can be part of gospel mission. You can go, you can pray, you can give, and I hope you're actively doing that. I hope and believe that it should be normal for every believer in this room to know 1 to 2 to 3 lost people that you've got in your prayer target sites. It seems abnormal to me that you wouldn't have a lost person in your sights, because they outnumber us big time. They're everywhere around us. And so part of your prayer life, staying fresh and focused and eating His food, is that you're praying for the lost. Are you praying for the lost? Do you have their names? Are you locked in? Are you seeing the unfolding of God's mission in front of you? Are you called to India? Are you called to the Middle East? Are you called to ISIS? I mean, I love it. There's some missionaries that are called to minister to ISIS guys, to go after them with the gospel. I mean, it's off the chart. But the Lord's got a call for you, and I just want to see you come into that. Because I understand how easy it is to go to sleep. I personally, without you around me, I get missional people around me. I want mission people around me to keep me sober. Because I'm telling you, I've been a selfaholic for a lot of years. And there's parts of me that would love to just make a bunch of money, have a good house, watch another movie, go on a trip with Amy and the kids, come back, and y'all all just don't hurt us. I would love to just live the American dream and do what we want to do. I'm just admitting it. It's not good, but I'm admitting it. Is everybody okay? You know how to pray for me. But what I do is I keep myself locked in here, and I get missional people around me that poke me and remind me, put the liquor down. Put the drink down. I don't mean literal. I mean metaphorical. Put the drink down. Stop getting drunk on this world. And give yourself to mission. And every time it happens, it's just such an exhilarating, wonderful thing. So I hope that God makes us a spiritual family that will poke each other about mission. We need you to do more. We need more than to be able to gather in a room once a week for an hour and a half, sing a few songs, hear what we ought to do, then we go back to our life. May God make us a room full of missionaries that are on the mission for Jesus. Father, I thank you in your name for the call to be on mission. I pray for everyone in this room that can be a partner in the great global mission to bring the gospel to to all peoples, to all nations. I pray right now with all these guys for the 1.1 billion people who've never, ever heard of Jesus. We pray that, Lord, Bibles would be translated, missionaries would be thrust there, dreams would be given. God, we pray for the gospel to get to every corner of the earth. And I pray you use us, whether it's in Houston or Portland or El Dorado or India or the Middle East. Lord, use us, activate us to be a people that are on mission for you. I'm asking all across this room, I pray that everybody just kind of listen in your heart. Would you right now freshly revive mission in the hearts of everyone? I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the recruiter and the equipper and the planner of all mission. You don't need me to do it, you do that. And so I pray over the body right now. I pray for fresh vision, fresh clarity. Remove the cobwebs of confusion. Remove the cobwebs of the busyness of life that are keeping them from a flint-like face focus on being on mission. Let our lives be more than just surviving and having a bit of pleasure on the way. We pray that we could live radical, risky, faith-filled lives, waiting on a glorious inheritance eternally, but using this life for the glory of your kingdom. Mark hearts. Mark hearts, Lord. Mark the most distracted heart in the room right now. Mark them. And unleash them and help us be a better family at helping each other get about mission so we can eat the food that Jesus ate. We love you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.